I would now like to welcome our editor-in-chief, Stefan Magnet, to our studio. Stefan, what is the current situation?
Yes, at this point, it's important to remember that the globalists want to build a worldwide prison state. They really do want the new world order, and they are taking these steps systematically. They have started to shift into the next gear with the coronavirus fake pandemic, where completely new control mechanisms have been put in place. All this digital control, as we have seen with coronavirus, will never be abolished. They continue with the climate hysteria, the climate agenda, and with the LGBTQ homo agenda. They really want to rebuild the world. And if they don't succeed, before their plans for world domination fail, for them World War III is indeed an option, as crazy as that may sound. They are really fueling the Third World War, and we must not underestimate how concrete their plans are and how they want to use this Third World War to solve their problems. After all, if we consider that a Third World War would mean that they would no longer have to deal with the entire coronavirus process, that the financial collapse that we are facing could be covered up, that the U.S. elections could be postponed, and it would also fit in perfectly with the population reduction agenda. This is a lot of speculation, but the global situation is threatening, and there are indeed forces that are happy with it.
However, the local media have a different view.
Yes, because on the day of the attacks in Russia, we experienced a veritable command structure by the system media. We witnessed how the same thesis was always repeated here, in Germany, Austria, in the entire West, in Europe. Namely, the Islamic State. A few penniless holy warriors were responsible for this attack. There were no people behind it. There were no contractors. The usual Islamists seemed to be to blame, and a war on terror can be started again worldwide. That was roughly the purport. In Russia, it looks completely different. Other suspects have long since been named. One went a lot further when it comes to the people behind the attacks. A columnist for the Russian news portal RIA, for example, said that the war against Russia is being waged by forces that know no boundaries and have no conscience. They are prepared to do anything, absolutely anything, to maintain their dwindling control over the world. And she goes on and calls for action to be taken against the West, against NATO. She writes, she would very much welcome if the president, that is Putin, would extend his promise that no responsible person would go unpunished to the instigators and masterminds of terror, to certain gentlemen in expensive suits sitting in comfortable offices on both sides of the ocean. The time has come for them to be presented with the bill too. So the Russian public is already making very specific demands here, calling for action to be taken against the USA too. This is not the case in our media. They claim that Putin blew up Nord Stream. Putin also carried out his own attack. Putin is now abusing the poor terrorists with torture and so on. It's all about constant confusion tactics. People should be kept stupid and naive for as long as possible. The German average man should be kept stupid and naive for as long as possible until he can no longer get out of this situation. But until the time comes when it really hits the fan, they are to be kept as busy as possible with disguise tactics. This is scaremongering, targeted scaremongering to keep people compliant. We have seen that there are no more anti-government demonstrations, e.g. in Germany. There are now completely different ones. The fight against the right, Russia is to blame for everything. That is the current agenda.
We are now joined by Martin Müller-Mertens in Berlin. Martin, has there been a particular sense of concern in Berlin?
No, you could even say quite the opposite. I remember other attacks in Western countries where the Brandenburg Gate or other public buildings were covered in the flag of the respective country or were projected. That didn't happen at all, quite the opposite. The mainstream media was full all day, the whole weekend, not really reporting on the attack and the victims, but always asking the question, what is Putin doing now? What excuses is he looking for? And the comments from political Berlin, from the government district, were corresponding. As example, I would like to mention the SPD foreign policy expert Michael Roth, who immediately reminded us that Russia is a terrorist state. That is basically close to the remark. Basically, that serves you right. It's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. There was a certain amount of consternation among the population. A lot of flowers were laid at the Russian embassy. It has to be said, The authorities had to make that possible because this embassy is normally cordoned off. But in this case, the people who wanted to express their grief were able to go straight there. So at least that wasn't prevented. But that's actually the least they could do.
And then Stefan, to Stefan now, what does Russia make of this attack? What can it make of it?
Yes, of course, it can make a lot out of it. And that is the crucial question. What does Russia make of it? I think it's much less about who is really behind it. Who are the much mentioned masterminds? Is there any truth in the story that these were holy warriors who preferred to kill for money rather than for their faith? Is there anything to it at all? It's often about what Russia makes of it. Over the last few days, we have repeatedly heard the comparison with 9/11. Let's just remember that with the story of September 11th, we have been fed an obvious lie for 20 years and we must eat it. Whether we believe it is completely irrelevant because the facts that were created afterwards were real. The war on terror, the attack on Afghanistan, on Iraq, the events in Iraq were undeniably real, disregarding the falsity of the claims about terrorists using box cutters to hijack airplanes and intentionally crashing them into skyscrapers, ultimately toppling two of them and damaging a third nearby. Despite these glaring falsehoods, they had a profound impact. The lie was audacious and shameless, yet it successfully rallied the global public and the masses in the fight against terrorism. This tactic remains just as pivotal today. What perspective does Russia hold on these events? Comparisons to the September 11th attacks were also made in relation to the terrorist acts that occurred in Israel on October 7th. We recall that shortly thereafter, the Israelis took decisive action by invading Gaza. The conflict persists to this day, with continued disregard for civilian lives, a genocidal crime perpetrated in the name of justifying the October 7th attacks. And the decisive question for us is what Putin will make of this. We have every reason to believe that he will not simply go back to business as usual.
Martin, in the past, Russia has frequently utilized terrorist attacks as a means to justify its policies. What are your expectations regarding this matter now?
These are basically two questions that I would like to answer separately. So in the past, that's true, but there has been a change in this Russian policy with terrorist attacks. For many years, it has been the policy of Russia and the Soviet Union to keep acts of terrorism completely hidden, even when they occur in public settings where hiding them is impossible. The attack on the Moscow subway stands out vividly in my memory, and to this day, we remain unaware of the full details surrounding it. To this day, what actually happened, how many victims the whole thing claimed, and that actually changed at the end of the 90s. Russia adapted, if you like, adapted to the way in which Western politicians exploited the crises of terrorist attacks for their own goals and for their own benefit. This was initially a series of attacks on residential buildings throughout Russia and that actually changed at the end of the 90s. Russia adapted, if you like. Putin, the current president, was first head of the Secret Service, then prime minister, and then 3 years later, the Beslan hostage taking in Dagestan, also with well over 300 dead and a complete failure on the part of the security forces. That was used at the time to change the so-called power vertical. So, for example, in response to this attack, the heads of the republics were no longer proposed by the parliaments, but only confirmed. What this has to do with the fight against terror was not clear to me. So Russia is trying to use terrorist attacks in a similar way to the West, and actually following this model, 9/11, the example has already been mentioned, to exploit terrorist attacks, of course. And if we look at the current case near Moscow, what really caught my eye was the way in which the suspects were presented. They were tortured, there's no question about that. And that, of course, is a sign that Russia is now going archaic. Russia is now going to use every conceivable way against the enemies who want to attack it. So what has been going on so far? Always the attempt to drive the war in Ukraine with the handbrake on to a certain extent against its own people. That could now be over. And interestingly enough, Moscow always said after Beslan that we would find everyone behind it. They didn't do that back then, but now that there is a major confrontation with the West, you have to take this announcement must be taken seriously.
Martin, these bomb attacks on residential buildings, at a time when Putin was not president. What can Putin now actually do of these attacks? Make of these attacks?
If we approach the question, it is perhaps quite interesting to see what he himself has said and what he has not said. And he is being accused in the Western media of having Ukraine or even the Ukrainian government. If you look at his own speech, that doesn't make it quite so clear. That's mainly what he says. Help had come from the Ukrainian side. Help had come from the Ukrainian side. Of course, that could also mean he means certain forces in the Ukrainian military or secret service complex. It could also mean that he is referring to Western intelligence services, Western special forces, which one can assume are probably already present in Ukraine. So he is making the connection to Western interference in this war without saying so. So he doesn't necessarily have to have meant it that way. And if you look at the answer from his counterpart, if I may call him that, Volodymyr Zelensky, who of course rejected Ukrainian interference, but who also did not literally deny that anything could possibly have happened on Ukrainian territory. He simply said that the Russian security services had failed. They obviously did, otherwise the attack would not have happened. And I also noticed that if one followed the Kremlin website closely, one of the first things Putin did was to hold telephone conversations with the presidents of the Central Asian republics, for example, Uzbekistan, also a country where many Islamic terrorists from the Fergana Valley used to come from, where it was immediately made clear that, unlike what the West may be planning as a diversionary mechanism or method of distraction, the Russian side is now not using this to create discord between the CIS states, perhaps to open up another front against Islamism in Central Asia, but the thrust of the main enemy for Putin is still the Western states and secret services gathered in Ukraine. In this respect, I don't believe that the war as such is now intensifying, because it practically can't get any more intense. But that Russia's telescopic sight, the so-called collective West, against which verbal attacks have always been, has always been shot at verbally, but where there has otherwise been no real escalation, to what extent this Russian missile, which took a detour via Poland on its way to Ukraine on Sunday, is already playing a role, is a sign that we are now really seeing speculation.
Can we be absolutely defenseless against this escalation spiral, or can the West do anything here?
Well, first of all, the West would have to want to do something, and I don't see that happening, at least not among politicians in Germany, and in the West anyway, who are also continuing to escalate the situation. In this respect, of course, the West could do something if it reacted differently to the tragedy in Moscow, for example. The tragedy in Moscow differently, if, for example, it had sent a sincere condolence, if this had been taken as an opportunity to start talking again, perhaps also offered to take in injured people in European hospitals, which would all have been small symbolic acts. But they clearly don't want to do that. Otherwise, there would not have been this media and political reaction, which fluctuates somewhere between Russia did the right thing and Russia did it itself in the end. In this respect, I don't see this desire or even this effort. If you ask, of course, what can we can do as a population, as peoples in Europe, to avoid getting caught between these two millstones, that is, of course, relatively difficult, but ultimately also a question of how we try to assert European sovereignty, German or Austrian sovereignty in our countries in order to avoid becoming the pawn of empires and then being dragged into such a conflict.
Stefan, are the citizens here the defenseless lambs in this conflict?
I have to say I was amazed myself at how openly many people here on social media felt sympathy for the victims of the attack, but I was also concerned that so many people celebrated it. I just saw on the news portal X earlier on Twitter how many people wrote, yes, Moscow should burn, and hopefully this was just the beginning, flatten this Putin people. So the anti-Russia propaganda has done a great job here, just as the brainwashing via the system media has done a great job overall. And we must not forget that citizens here in the West, in Europe or North America, which is particularly bad in Europe, have no opportunity to form an objective opinion about the situation in Russia. Because most Russian media are banned, or all Russian media are banned, some are even prohibited, the dissemination of content is forbidden under penalty of high fines. Penalties, and therefore people are at the mercy of this propaganda. We are also experiencing that the Great Reset is now happening in rapid succession with a new major event almost every week. You can no longer rely on anything. We are feeling that you can no longer make any plans. We don't know what the situation will look like in the summer. We already have one foot in the Third World War. This hybrid subliminal war that we have been experiencing since Corona at the latest has become a real hot war in Gaza, in Israel, in Ukraine, but also in Russia. It has long since become a hot, bloody war, and there is not only a threat that this conflict, this war, will escalate. We will have to use a good deal of diplomatic skill and luck if it does not escalate into a full-scale war. I think there is a method to all this, at least on the part of the rulers we are facing here in Europe. They want to create a new order out of the chaos, and it is a tried and tested method of scaremongering. We, on the other hand, must strive to circumvent censorship, to advance enlightenment. I think it is the task of us and all willing viewers to bring enlightenment to the outside world on a massive scale, even if the methods of constraint and censorship are becoming ever more perfidious and brutal. We are constantly experiencing this at A1, but we will also rely on tried and tested methods to reach the public, and I can already announce that we will be launching a major offensive, a major campaign in the next few days, and we will publish the first steps. To wake people up, to reach them with alternative information, because I believe that is the key in this whole constellation, fear-mongering, scaremongering, power politics, all that only works if the system has the masses behind it. And if we manage to free more and more people from the manipulation, then that is the most effective thing we can do in these times. Perhaps at the end of the day, this year, every single person who woke up will count, and we will do everything we can to circumvent the censorship here in order to bring alternative points of view and perspectives to the masses so that citizens can form their own opinion of the situation.
As you mentioned earlier, escalating the conflict would be a wonderful exit strategy. The American election would then no longer be an issue, the Austrian election, if it matters, and so on. Let's hope for the best. Stefan, thank you very much for this interview here. Thank you, Martin. Also to Berlin.